proper names that have been absorbed into our language to describe certain situations. For example, sometimes we say of someone, he made a botch of it. In other words, what he did was an absolute disaster, a total failure. But you know, the word is taken from a proper name. Apparently, the man Botch was the man who designed the Tay Rail Bridge. And one stormy night, the whole thing collapsed and many lives were lost. And so his name has been absorbed into our language and we speak of people making a botch of it. Again, and maybe I don't hear this so much nowadays, but we used to hear people being referred to as a quisling. A traitor, in other words. It was the name of the man who was the Norwegian who collaborated with the Nazis during the Second World War. But of course, another name that is synonymous with treachery is that of Judas Iscariot, the man who featured in the Bible as the betrayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to speak to you about Judas just for a few minutes. I think it could be of interest to you. It is interesting, first of all, to know that predictions were made about Judas in the Old Testament. The betrayal of the Lord Jesus was prophesied in Psalm 41. It was predicted that his own familiar friend, who did eat of his bread, who would lift up his heel against him. And then the precise amount of the betrayal was predicted in the Old Testament. 30 pieces of silver. Now, I don't know where the bargaining started when Judas went to the high priests. Maybe he wanted 40 pieces of silver and they would say, we'll give you 20. Well, he should make it 35 and they would say, well, we'll give you 25. But when the bargain was struck, it was right on the nail, as prophesied in the Old Testament, 30 pieces of silver. The reason I mention this is just to give you confidence in the Bible as being the Word of God. The prophecies that were made in the Old Testament were fulfilled in absolute detail when our Lord Jesus came into the world. Now, I've only cited two, but these are samples of multitudes of prophecies which had a fulfillment when he came. These things give us confidence that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. So Judas was prophesied in the Old Testament. There are three things I want to speak about in regard to Judas. We'll think first of all about his deceitfulness. The Bible calls him constantly one of the 12. He wasn't one of the crowd who listened to the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't even one of the 70 preachers whom Christ sent out on one occasion. He was one of the 12, one of that inner circle of Christ's followers, and yet his heart was not right with the Lord. He stands as an illustration of the multitudes in the world who would claim to be Christians. Perhaps they've been baptized into a Christian church. Perhaps they're members of a Christian denomination, and they would claim to be Christians, and yet they've never repented of their sins, and they've never been converted to Christ, they've never believed on him. They wear the label Christian, but the label does not guarantee the content of the bottle. They know nothing of God's saving grace in their lives. And so there are many like that in the world, and Judas stands as an illustration of the kind of person who professes to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and yet they know nothing of God's forgiveness in their lives. So he was one of the 12, but in reality, he was a secret sinner. He was the man who had the responsibility of looking after the funds for that band of apostles. And yet the Bible says he was a thief. He creamed off the contents of the common purse for his own use. You see, he was someone who pretended to have a care for the poor, and yet he was only looking after his own self-interest. He was a secret sinner. The Bible speaks about a man who was a secret disciple of the Lord Jesus. His name was Joseph of Arimathea. And you might feel that you're in that category, a secret disciple. In your heart, you've come to Christ. You've called on him to save you. You've believed in him. But you haven't made that known yet. The Bible does say, if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So it is important to acknowledge that Jesus is our Lord. One day a woman came to the Saviour. She said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed of my disease. And she did touch his garment, and then she tried to slip away undetected in the crowd. But that didn't satisfy the Saviour. He said, who touched me? and she was brought out into the open. He does want people to be open in their confession of him as Lord and Saviour. So Joseph of Arimathea was a secret disciple who ultimately came out into the open and nailed his colours to the mast as a loyal follower of Christ. But Judas Iscariot was a secret sinner. Secret sin is known to God. The Bible says there is nothing hid. The Lord Jesus wasn't taken in by Judas Iscariot. Quite early in his ministry, he said to his 12 disciples, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." He knew who would betray him. So he knows your heart, so secret sin is known to him. Secret sin will be judged by God. The Bible says he'll bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Sometimes people comfort themselves when they remember past sins, and they say, well, nobody ever found out. But God knew, and he'll bring every work into judgment. But the good news is that secret sin can be cleansed by God. In Psalm 19, the writer there said to God, "Cleanse thou me from secret faults." It may be that you've been living a double life. If you repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, then secret faults will be cleansed. God will deal with them, for the Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we thought about the deceitfulness of Judas, one of the 12, and yet he was a secret sinner. Now we come to think of his decision, because a crisis was arrived at when deliberately he decided to betray the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, nobody can live a double life indefinitely. There comes a point where they arrive at the fork in the road and they have to make a decision about what they will do. There were influences that would have encouraged Judas to do the right thing, to trust Christ, to experience his saving power in his life. You see, he'd witnessed the saving power of Christ in the lives of others. Now, I haven't time to mention them all, but two of his companions were men who'd been at the opposite end of the political spectrum. One was Matthew, and Matthew was a tax collector. He'd collaborated with the Romans, and, you know, he was likely very rich, because he too would be lining his pockets at the expense of others. But one day, the Lord Jesus came walking along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, and he said to Matthew, "Follow me." And the Bible says he left all, and he followed him. And the life of Matthew was revolutionized by the power of Christ. As I say, at the opposite end of the political spectrum was another man. His name was Simon the Zealot. He joined the armed struggle to rid the land of the Roman invader. He was a terrorist. I don't know how and I don't know when he encountered the Lord Jesus Christ, but he did. And his life too was transformed by the power of Jesus Christ. And Judas had witnessed these things. And perhaps you too have witnessed the power of Christ in the lives of others. Perhaps you've seen the way in which a drunkard has been absolutely changed by the power of Christ, a compulsive gambler, or whatever. And maybe you've heard the song sung, "It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do." And you've wondered, well, could he change my life the way he changed their lives? He can, and he will, if you will turn to Christ for salvation. So Judas had witnessed these things. He'd also observed the Lord Jesus Christ at close quarters. Every day he'd watched his kindly ways. He'd seen his deeds of love. He'd watched the way in which he'd brought mercy to men and women and young people. And yet he chose to ignore the love and kindness of Christ. If you turn away from the Lord Jesus, you will be making a deliberate choice to turn away from his love, because he has loved you as an individual. His love for you was expressed in the fact that he died on the cross for our sins. The Bible says, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me." His death on the cross was voluntary. Willingly, he yielded his life as a sacrifice for sins. And you deliberately reject the value of Christ's sacrifice if you say no to Jesus Christ. And so there were these positive influences at play in the life of Judas, and yet sadly he ignored them, because there were other influences at play. He had a selfish nature, and that basically selfish nature, the love of money in his heart, proved to be something that lured him away from Jesus Christ. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And those who love money, they pierce themselves through with many sorrows, the Bible says. And this besetting sin of covetousness kept Judas Iscariot away from Christ. He preferred 30 pieces of silver to Jesus Christ. Is there anything keeping you back from Christ? Are there things in your life that you know would be inconsistent with a Christian profession? Maybe you feel you couldn't live without these things. I urge you, do not allow anything or anyone to influence you against the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it's your eternal well-being that's in the balance. It's your eternal future that's at stake. Don't allow anyone or anything to talk you out of your place in heaven. You need Christ. And I urge you, do not allow anything to keep you back from him. There was the influence of Satan at work in Judas's life as well. It was the devil who had put it into his heart to betray the Lord Jesus. And you know, Satan is an adversary. He will try to steer you away from Christ. Please, do not allow him to influence you. He wants you to be in hell, where he will be for all eternity. I urge you, do not be a companion of such an evil personage. And so, Judas made up his mind. He weighed the thing up. Sadly, the balances tipped the wrong way, and he preferred 30 pieces of silver to salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've thought about his deceitfulness. We've thought about his decision. He decided to turn against Christ. But the Bible also speaks about his doom. You see, ultimately, he was filled with remorse. He never really repented, but he was filled with remorse. And he came to the chief priests, and he threw down the 30 pieces of silver on the floor of the temple. They'd been like bells tolling out the death knell for Judas as they jingled in his purse. And now he threw them down on the temple floor. And the Bible says he went out and he hanged himself. As I said in another little message to you, I don't know exactly what happened. Perhaps the rope broke. Perhaps he'd thrown a rope over a branch and the branch snapped. But somehow or another, in attempting to hang himself, he went plunging headlong and his body was mangled. Well, you might say, so what? That was only his body. Well, that is true, it was only his body. But what of his soul? Well, the Bible says he went to his own place. Now, that is a euphemism. It's a figure of speech expressing something that's dreadful and awful in as delicate a way as possible. Really, what is being said is he was in hell. He was lost. He went to his own place. I wonder where you will be in eternity. The Lord Jesus says to those who trust in him, I go to prepare a place for you. Will you be in that place prepared, in the Father's house, in the many mansions? Will you be in heaven when you die? It is only those who've believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, only those who've repented of their sins, who will be there. But those who have died unrepentant and unbelieving, like Judas, they will go to their own place. They will be lost. It is sobering to think that he was there when the Bible spoke of him in his own place. 2,000 years on, he is still there, and he will be there for the countless ages of eternity. For the Bible does speak about eternal salvation. Yes, that is, when a person believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are eternally saved. But the next chapter of the Bible speaks about eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. It's forever. And 5 seconds after you die is 5 seconds too late to think about getting right with God. Your destiny will be sealed by then. A great gulf fixed will separate you from the place of blessedness. So think about this man, Judas Iscariot. Judas the traitor. The man who rejected Christ. he decided deliberately to turn against the Saviour. Don't be like him, else you too will share his doom. You will be lost, and lost forever.